Well, welcome to 2006. You've made it so far, this far. How many of you had a great 2005? See your hand. Yeah, great. How many of you are glad 2005 is done and we're moving on to 2006? Yeah. How many of you know we just went by a year and we're starting a new year? Yeah. Okay, you know that, yeah? You know, so many times it's so hard to catch up and keep up with the speed of things around here. I mean, we don't even know how fast time flies until we maybe look around us and see the changes that's been taking place. Then it reminds us that time is really clicking by. There is a school in the Midwest. It's a college that will interview and survey incoming freshmen to get an idea what freshmen are thinking, their mindset. And they'll provide a list of all these things that are in a freshman's mind so the faculty knows who they're teaching and the kind of minds that they need to reach. Now, this incoming freshman class, which will be the class of 2009 when they graduate, they were born, now some of you brace yourself, they were born in 1987. A freshman class in college. And this is some of the examples of a list that was put together. They cannot imagine and they cannot remember life without pay-per-view, voicemail, digital cameras, or Starbucks. They cannot remember life without that. They cannot remember having seen cars without the eye-level rear stoplights or CD players in a car or airbags. They cannot remember life like that. They cannot remember that the word whatever was actually used as part of a question and not just an expression, you know, whatever. They can't remember life like that. And I can't remember life like that. Wayne can. He can remember life before those days. But so many times, you know, we don't see the passing of time until we see the changes. Or maybe we begin to count the missed opportunities along the way. That reminds us of how fast time has passed. How many of you have had a missed opportunity, maybe in this last year or in your lifetime? Something just went by and you think back, I wish I had. How many of you had opportunities like that you've missed? Yeah, I think we all go through that sometimes. You know, I go running by our house, and we have a couple of graveyards that are situated next to our condo. And sometimes I like to run by and just take a look as to what's there, you know, not just the flowers. But this last week, I kind of just paused and looked at some of the gravestones that are there. And it's almost as if you can hear these voices calling out from the graves. Would've, could've, should've. Boy, in my life, I would have had a better life, but I didn't. You know, I should have extended forgiveness to that one person, but I didn't. You know, I could have loved more, but I didn't. Would've, could've, should've. And I stopped there, and it's almost as if I'm hearing the echo of these voices, and I said to myself, I remember saying to myself, you know, when I die, we're all going to die, yeah? Who's not going to die here? We're all going to die. And when I have my headstone, my tombstone set, I want my epitaph, that phrase that's on my headstone, I want it to say one word. Done. Every opportunity that the Lord has laid in front of me, I did it, and I'm done. That's what I wanted to say. Nothing more, nothing less. Just one word. And I think how many of us will miss opportunities and we'll have a question mark instead. I wish I could have, but I didn't. How come? You know, the Bible is so full of stories of opportunities that were taken advantage of and opportunities that were missed. I mean, you look at the story of Noah, where he took advantage of an opportunity. Imagine those, pardon the expression, but those who missed the boat in his days. Missed opportunity and what they suffered through. Look at the life of Abraham. At 100 years old, he still took advantage of an opportunity. Or the story of the 12 spies, you're going to read about them soon if you're following our devotional reading in Numbers 13 and 14. Moses sent out 12 spies to check out the promised land that God had promised. 12 went out, 10 missed the opportunity. Only 2 got to enter the promised land, Joshua and Caleb. The other 10, they had to wait on the outside of the promised land. In fact, the Bible says, because they missed their chance, a whole generation perished outside of what God had promised. So sometimes when we miss opportunities, it not just affects our life, it affects generations to come. But the story I want to focus on this weekend is a story about a rich young ruler. And I love reading about this guy because it's proof positive that pakes were a part of the Bible. Rich young ruler. Rich, all pakes are rich, yeah? Young, pakes never get old. We still have the color of our hair. We don't have to dye it like whatever, but, you know, and ruler. Pakes like to be in control of things all the time. But, you know, this young man ran up to the Lord and asked him, what is it that I need to do to receive eternal life? In other words, show me, Lord, what is that opportunity that you have for me? In fact, he called him teacher or rabbi. And the Lord gave him some commandments, and he said, yeah, I did all those things. What else do I need to do? And the Lord responded. At the top of our notes, let's take a look and read this scripture together out of Matthew 19. Ready? Go. Jesus said to him, if you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor. And you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieved, for he owned much property. And Jesus said to his disciples, truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And I wrote in my Bible, blew it. You missed it. You had a prime golden moment in time, and you missed it. And the Bible doesn't tell us what happens, whether he gets another chance at this or not. We don't know. But I wonder, if he never did, when he finally found out who the Lord really was on that last day of the Lord's life, I wonder if this guy started beating his head saying, gosh, I wish I would have, I could have, I should have. He was the Lord. He was the Messiah. I should have. And I blew it. I wonder. We don't know. And it caused me to think, you know, for 2006 or in this next season of our lives, I don't want to ever miss out on an opportunity. And so when opportunity knocks, what should we do? Let's take a look. Number one, please understand that God will provide the opportunity. Our responsibility is to respond. Respond. I believe we have a three-dimensional God. He knows our past. He knows what we're going through in our present. God also knows our future, doesn't he? He has plans already prepared for us. It's not where he has to sit at his drawing board and every day begin to think, okay, what's next for this guy? What's next for this family? He doesn't have to think that. He already knows the plans. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Not for your calamity, but to give you a future and a hope. He knows the plans for our future. He knows everything about putting things in order. In fact, Ephesians 2 says this. Let's read that together. Ready? Go. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Underline that phrase, prepared in advance. He's already set in motion the opportunities he wants us to experience for our families, relationship, in our homes, in our jobs, whether you're a student in school. He already has those opportunities prepared in advance. He set the stage. He's placed everything in order. Our responsibility is to RSVP. We got to respond. I mean, it's almost as if this. Let's say I have an invitation to dinner. And it's not a dinner at Roy's. You know, Roy's is a pretty good restaurant. It's not a dinner at, let's say, Alan Wong's. I mean, he's a, you know, nice pake guy and everything. But, you know, let's say this dinner is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for you. And it's going to be held at Ahu's restaurant. Ahu's restaurant. Okay? And this is what I'm going to prepare for you. It's going to be a six-course sampler dinner for you. And we're going to start off, first of all, with some shrimp ahi candy sticks, which are like succulent jumbo shrimp that are skewered together with some ahi cubes that have been glazed with a ginger brown sugar glaze and then grilled to perfection. That's appetizers. For our soup dish, we'll have French onion soup, which I'll take some Maui onions and I'll caramelize them and then simmer them in a broth of vermouth and a beef base. I'll layer it with some slices of French baguette bread with some Swiss cheese on top, and I'll bake that until it's a golden brown crust over that bowl. That's our soup dish. For our salads, we'll have a lightly tossed Caesar salad with some island huli huli chicken strips,
some mandarin oranges and some crushed honey walnuts that was served in this tiny little mini tortilla shells. That'll be our salad dish. Now for an entree, I have two offerings. You can have one of each, or you can have one or the other. The first will be a local style barbecue rib with a green onion hoisin oyster sauce marinade, where it's cooked to perfection, where the meat is so tender and juicy that it begins to just fall off the bone. Now, I know some of you love seafood, and so I'll balance that out with a baked island onaga fillet that has a Kona crab lobster stuffing that's smothered with a saffron beurre blanc caper sauce all over that. Now, yeah, please stop, yeah? Now, that's five courses, and I promised you six. And so we need dessert, don't we? What we'll have is a chocolate souffle that is guaranteed to rise no less than 3 to 4 inches high. And I'll put some tiny bits of chocolate in the middle, and so when you cut it, it'll just ooze out of that souffle. But I'll also top it with some homemade vanilla bean ice cream all over that. Six-course sampler dinner at Ahu's restaurant. Here's the invitation. Who wants to come? Who wants to come? Yeah, okay. Wouldn't it be such a shame if I prepared all of that ahead of time and I went through all the effort of putting all the ingredients together, setting up a beautiful table and a setting, and I gave out the invitation, you took it, but you never showed up. It'd be such a shame. A once-in-a-lifetime opportunity waiting for you, and you never responded. Same it is with God, I think. With the plans that He has already prepared for our families, for our lives, God went through a lot of effort to set everything in order. He's prepared it in advance. How many times we fail to respond? Maybe you need to start attending church more often, as an example, to see where the opportunities are that are going to open for you. But you show up one day and you go, no more parking. I'm going home. Turn around and you take your family home. Maybe it's something that you need to do for your family, for your relationship. And so we announce things like conferences and, you know, different classes. And you think to yourself, nah, I don't have time for that. And we don't respond. Or maybe it's a counsel that's given to you by some of our pastors. And you think, well, I tried that, done that, hasn't worked. Or it's too hard, it's going to require me to change my lifestyle, and so you never get involved with it, and you don't respond. And I think it's such a shame, because God may have in store for you a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity waiting for you. What you got to do is respond. You got to open the door. Somebody said this once, when opportunity knocks, open the door. Open the door. You may just find the Lord on the other side. Revelation 3. Read that with me. Ready? Go. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him. The Lord may be waiting right there, but we never take the affirmative step to respond. Well, how should we respond in that bullet point? Faithful obedience. Faithful obedience. It's not just going through the steps. The rich young ruler, he followed some of the commandments, but he wasn't faithful in following it. He was doing it just for the exercise. Faithful obedience means you proceed and follow the ways of the Lord, regardless of results, regardless of what may be there. You just want to obey Him, because as you do, it'll keep you alert to the ways of God. See, opportunities may be all around you right now. It may be right there in front of your eyes, but because of a lack of some obedient step along the way, we're missing it. And we wonder, what's happening? How come that family is doing so good? How come that person is doing so good? And I just can't seem to get out of the blocks. Maybe there are some things going on in your life right now that you haven't yet quite gotten your life to adjust to, and maybe it's time you start walking in step with God rather than ahead or behind of Him. And so you're alert to opportunities He's going to lay in front of you. Let's read what Ephesians 5 says. Ready? Go. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Be careful, not careless, not unintentional, not apathetic. Be careful. Consider your ways. Consider the things that you're involved with, where you may be heading. Consider what you're watching, the time that you're spending. Be careful, because there will be so many distractions that will try to keep you away from God's very best, from God's opportunity. Be careful. I love the story of the four men with their friend who is a paralytic, and they knew that Jesus was in town. In fact, in Luke it says, and the power of healing was with the Lord. And so they knew that their friend, in order for him to be healed, they had to bring him in front of the Lord. An opportune moment, because the power to heal was there. And they put their friend on this makeshift pallet. They lift him up and they start walking into town where Jesus is supposed to be. And he's in this guy's house teaching. And a big crowd begins to develop around him. In fact, it was so much so that he went outside into the house, outside of the house, into the streets. And these guys are walking down, trying to get their friends in front of the Lord. Let's read together what happened there. Luke chapter 5, let's read that. Ready? Go. And not finding any way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down through the tiles with his stretcher, right in the center in front of Jesus. And seeing their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. Underline the phrase, seeing their faith. I'm very visual. And so when I read stories in the Bible, I like to kind of run a videotape of it going on. And I like to see what was happening. Now, four friends, one friend is paralyzed. I see them load him on the pallet. They walk down. Now, they're probably talking all along the way. Man, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And we're going to rejoice and be glad in it, because our friend's going to be healed. Jesus is in town. He's in the house. And we're going to get this guy in front of him. Opportunity, man. We don't want to miss it. We heard Pastor Elwin's sermon, and we don't want to miss it. This is it. We're going to do it. They get there, and what do they find? The crowd. There's no way they're going to get in the house. It's not like a little child kind of squeezing his way between legs trying to get in front of somebody. They got four guys and a pallet with a paralyzed man on it. Now, imagine the discussion going on here about these four guys. Oh, what are we going to do? Look at the people. We can't get in here. There's no seats in the house. Never mind. We're supposed to get in there. Yeah, but look, let's just go home. Let's just turn around and go home. No, this is an opportunity. Come on, we got to do this. We got to figure out a way. Well, how else are we going to get him in there? One guy probably said, there's a ladder. So? Well, we can get up on the roof. What for? There are no skylights. That wasn't invented until the year 2000, you know? How are we going to get him down inside? Well, we'll figure out a way. Let's just get up on the roof. Okay. So you can imagine the four guys carrying a pallet up a ladder to get on the roof. I felt sorry for the paralyzed guy. It must be a bumpy ride going up to the roof. Well, they finally get him up there. And now the discussion is, well, what are we going to do now? Well, we got to get him in there. How are we going to do it? Let's just dig. Dig where? Where is the Lord? Here? 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 Let's just dig. We'll find out. I can imagine them starting to just get down on their knees and rip the roof apart. The roofs in those days were made out of sticks and twigs that was stuffed with straw and then covered over with mud. And as it hardened, it would provide this roof. So they had to get through all of this material. And they're ripping it out without regard to their hands, to the safety of their hands and the cuts and everything. They're just ripping out this roof. Now, where was the Lord? He's in the house. He's inside. He's teaching, just like this. Maybe talking about Isaiah. And the book of Isaiah says, and he hears this. And the book of Isaiah says, and you can see all this dirt beginning to fall down next to him. And I can imagine the Lord looking up, seeing this little peephole of sunlight coming in, and seeing his fingers begin working. The Lord probably just stopped everything, pulled his attention to this little hole, and as it began to grow bigger and the dirt and the twigs began to fall down, he probably stepped back and looked up and was just smiling all the time. Now this hole, now they had a guy on a stretcher. This hole was not like a toilet-sized hole. It had to have been at least 6 feet long and at least 3 to 4 feet wide. And they created such a hole. And the Bible says, as the Lord stood there, what happened? This body started to become lower and lower and lower. And the Lord is watching all of this stuff unfold. And then as it dropped right in the center in front of him, I can imagine the Lord looking down at this paralyzed man with a big smile on his face, looking up at the hole, and you see these four heads pop up, boop, boop, checking out what is God going to do now. And I can see the Lord saying, because of whose faith? Their faith, your sins are forgiven. Because of their faith, this opportunity for you to be healed is now present. What kind of faith? A faith that didn't allow anything to stand in their way. A faith that so believed in the power of God that obstacles, physical limitations, nothing stood in their way. A faith that matched up their desires with the Lord's desires. Psalms 37 says this, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. In other words, when your desires, when your wishes for your family, for others around you, for your relationship, when your desires is the same as his, the Lord stops everything. And he'll show you the opportunities that are available for you. How does that happen? Faithful obedience. Faithful obedience in just the little things along the way. You know, people always ask us, this move, now you're a pastor, you're a judge. Tell me your business plan. You know, I want to be a pastor one day. What is the plan that I need to take? There was no strategic business plan, folks. You know, my whole goal in life was to become a lawyer, become a judge, get rich, and retire, and just take it easy the rest of my life. I had no idea this was going to happen. Well, what happened then? I don't know. Well, I got saved. I didn't know I was going to be here. I started serving, doing my devotions. I didn't know I was going to be here. In 1999, my wife's father, my father-in-law, was climbing a tree. He's 81 years old. Fell off the tree, fractured his back, paralyzed from the waist down. He was committed to a nursing home. And Joy and I would go and visit him every single day. She has sisters. They would come and take turns to care for him. But Joy and I would go every single day. We had no family. My son is already grown. And so we would go. And some days she would go from her workplace directly to the hospital. We had one car. I would take a backpack, put all my clothes and my shoes in the car, and I would run from our workplace all the way to meet her at the hospital. She'd be washing his legs and his feet, even though he was paralyzed, had no feelings. She'd take care of him, and I'd go there and I'd shave him. We'd change some of his linen sometimes. There are times where we just wanted him to see the sunset. And so he needed to have a brace over his chest. We'd attach the brace. And then I would have to lean over and lift him up on my back to carry him to his wheelchair and place him in there. Strap him in, take him down to watch the sunset, come back and reverse everything. Every day we would do that. Why? Because I wanted to be a pastor? No, I had no idea this was going to happen. We just felt that the Lord asked us to do that. And so we did it. One day we were just talking and I said to her, what is God trying to do with us? I mean, we're doing all of this stuff. And nobody complained. Even though he was my father-in-law, didn't matter to me. It was something the Lord wanted us to do. And I asked her, is God getting us ready for something? She said, I hope he's not going to Africa or something like that. I said, oh gosh, heaven forbid. But you know, we were obedient to the little things, and pretty soon this opportunity of ministry began to open up in front of us. And I've been on staff now for 6 years. It's been hard and challenging. It's been sometimes tough, but I try and stay true to my calling and stay obedient in a faithful way, pursuing the calling of the Lord. Well, through all of that, the Lord has opened up another opportunity. He's opened up a new season for us where we're going to be moving. We're going to be moving on. He's not leaving here. We're going to stay here. But we're going to be moving on into a season of adoption. We're going to be adopting a little boy. And he's out of China. And you think about it. It is... When you think about it, God surely has a sense of humor, doesn't he? to put a lawyer to now be a pastor, to take two individuals whose combined age is over 100 years. Now, I won't say who pushed us over the edge, but 100 years old. I mean, to be parents, for me to be parent again, starting over, Joy has never had a child, and she is just so elated about this opportunity. But to see that going on in her life. You know, you hear Wayne talk about being an empty nester. You know, when I walk by his office, all I hear is freedom, freedom. Funny, in our house, the song is being played, "You're Only Just Begun," to, you know. It's like a whole new season. But it's so neat how it begins to unfold. It's almost like our lives have been one opportunity into another, one faith step into another. How did it happen? The little things. Just the little things that we try to be obedient to. What is the opportunity that God has for you and your family, in your marriage, wherever you are? What is that opportunity? Don't worry about the results. Just be the best that you can wherever you are. Be the best parent. Be the best spouse. Be the best son or daughter. Be the best student, employee. Be the best. Let God reveal the rest. As you walk faithfully in obedience in His step, He will reveal the next opportunity that's available to you. But be careful. Number two, would you write in your notes? Let God's word and not your emotions be your guide. Let God's word, not your emotions. Don't ever allow your emotions to draw you into a decision. Let God's word guide you through the process. I'll say it again. Don't ever allow your emotions to draw you into a decision. Let God's word guide you through the process. The process. You know, I so appreciate emotions. Emotions allow us to enjoy life, to experience life, the highs and the lows. But the devil will always take what was meant for our good, and he'll twist it and turn it and keep us from achieving the plans that God has for our lives. He will. He did that with Eve. Eve was in the garden. She had a fruit there. And he said to her, go ahead and eat it. And when she saw that it was good for food, the Bible says. And I thought to myself, Eve, there's so many other fruits in the garden. There's so many other trees. I mean, take a pineapple if you have to. But, you know, there's so many other things. Why that fruit? You know what the devil was doing? He was using her emotions. He was appealing to her emotions. And so it created a craving within her for this one object. And sometimes when we allow our emotions to go crazy, to go buckle loose, our emotions will draw us into making a decision and think that it's a godly opportunity. It may not be. It may not be. I mean, even just because it's an opportunity, it doesn't mean it's a God-given opportunity. The devil went up to the mountain with Jesus, tempted him three times. When he couldn't get through to the Lord, in Luke it says, he left him for a more opportune moment. The devil will also throw at us opportunities. And he'll say, look, it's so good. It's a golden moment for you. Go ahead, take advantage of it. If you feel that you're being drawn into a decision because of emotions, don't do it. It may not be the Lord. It may not be gold. It may just be fool's gold. What's going to help us discern that? The Word of God. Read with me 2 Timothy. Ready? Go. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Would you take your pencil or pen, scratch through those words, good work, and write in its place, opportunity. God's word will equip us to handle every opportunity that's going to come our way. It'll help us discern gold from fool's gold. That's why we say to young women, when you go out on a date, take your Bible with you. And put that Bible between yourself and your date. Because you see, these young men, I know young men, yeah? Kind of been there, done that kind of thing. You know, when the moon is right and the time is ripe, they're going to say to you, come on, baby, this is a golden opportunity for you. You take God's word and you say to them, you go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John before you can get to your Acts. You know? God's word. It's going to separate gold from fool's gold. And it's not just reading the word. And we talk about devotions a lot, and you need to do your devotions. You need to pray to understand God's word. But you also need to process. I meet with people all the time, and they're in the midst of a situation, and I say, how did you get involved in that? Are you doing your devotions? Oh, yeah, we do our devotions every day. Are you praying? Oh, yeah, I prayed this through. Then how come this happened? Well, here's the result. I say, well, you missed a step. Process. Did you kick it around with others? Godly counsel is a part of the process. God's word will be revealed to you through godly counsel. That's why I encourage you to get involved with someone else who loves the Lord, who knows the word of God, and loves God's best for you. And they're going to speak God's word into your life. And when they speak it, listen. You got to listen. Sometimes we hear counsel, but we don't want to listen. And so we move from one group to another. And we don't take the time to filter out those things and sift through the emotions and feelings that we have. You know, it's like baking banana bread. You guys like banana bread? I love just fresh baked banana bread. And I had a recipe once, calls for like flour and sugar and eggs, and it also calls for like baking soda. And it says, make sure you sift through the dry ingredients and then combine it with the wet ingredients. Well, I put this together. I said, nah, I don't need to sift through that stuff. I just want to eat, man. So I put everything in a bowl, mixed it all up, stuck it in the oven. I had all the ingredients right. Put it in there, and as it was baking, I watched it, and it rose, and it got so high, and it smelled so good. I couldn't wait to jump in and eat it. I pulled it out of the oven when it was done. I cut myself a slice, put some butter on it, and it melted all over it. I stuck that slice in my mouth, and I went, ugh, yuck. I bit into a huge chunk of baking soda. Oh, it was awful. I can still taste it. Awful, awful. And I think to myself, sometimes we jump into opportunities before sifting the ingredients. We love the way that it looks. We love the way that it smells. It looks so promising. I just want to jump in and go on with it. And then when we do, we think, this doesn't taste right. Something is not right in this situation. It may be because you jumped in too fast. That's why I say this. Bump before you jump. Before you jump into a situation, bump that idea around with others. And through the bumping process, it's like a sifting of all emotions and feelings, and you can center on what God really wants for your life. But you got to get involved with others. Get involved with godly counsel. People who know the word, loves God, and loves you. Do that. And you got to listen. Otherwise, we'll fall into Proverbs 15. Would you read that? I'm sorry, Proverbs 12. Read that with me. Ready? Go. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. Got to listen. This whole adoption process, I had to kick it around with guys within our office. I had to talk to my son about it. I had to just go over it with some of the guys on our mission trip. And I needed to know, because it can become a very emotional decision. And we had to really kick it around. See, we can go through this entire process, and there is no guarantees. Joy has a little child in her heart, a child that she met before in China. I think we showed a picture once quite some time ago. But there's a child that she fell in love with. But with adoption in China, you cannot pre-select your child. You cannot say, that's the one I want, and go for that one. It is not something that you can control. And so we'll go through this entire process not knowing what the outcome will be. And I had to sift through those feelings with her and with some others. But we kind of knew that, man, this may be where the Lord is leading us. See, because if we adopt, and when we adopt, it's going to compromise my call, is it? It's going to pull attention away from me, or is it going to enhance our ministry? We have to really come to grips with that. And once you've gone through the sifting process, and you kind of know that this may be the direction that the Lord is leading you, You won't be 100% sure, but you kind of know because you're getting godly counsel, you're praying along the way, the Lord is leading you in his steps, you're faithfully obeying his ways, being obedient to his ways. Then number three, you need to do this. Be intentional and stay committed. Stay committed. Be intentional. What steps do you need to take? Do it. If it's your family, if it's getting involved in a class, a group, do it. You just got to do it. You got to, like that song said, live like if you're as if you're dying. You got to put everything on the line. You cannot live life, try to enter a new opportunity that the Lord is opening for you with your feet still in your past. The rich young ruler had that problem. He didn't want to leave the possessions of his past, and so the Lord could not use him in the future. In fact, the Lord says, if you keep your feet in the past and another foot in the present and in the future, you'll be like straddling a fence. That's very uncomfortable to straddle a fence like that. Read with me what Revelation 3 says. Ready? Go. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. The Lord doesn't take pleasure in people who are noncommittal. When you figure and decide that this is what I need to do, go for it. Wholeheartedly, without reservations. It's an all or nothing thing. See, the adoption process, it takes a lot of work. Tons of paperwork. Mounds of applications. Full-on health, a physical exam. I hate when somebody draws blood from me. We got to take blood samples. I'm so glad we had a New Hope person drawing my blood, but I couldn't faint in front of him, so I just had to kind of like smile. But it's a whole process that sometimes becomes very difficult. Getting background checks, we have to have a home study done. They visit your home. They dig deep into your soul about who you are and where you've come from, and we have to reveal a lot of things that are very personal. And it's a difficult process. And then taking all the paperwork, they had to be notarized. And then I had to hand walk it and carry it down to circuit court to have the notarization authenticated. And then I had to take all of that back to the lieutenant governor's office and have it certified of the authentication of the notarization. And I had to do all of that stuff. And then we got to get it translated, sent to the Chinese consulate in Los Angeles, and they are going to reapprove everything else. And now this part is the hardest for me of all. Forking out the cash. I mean, it's expensive. I mean, there are filing fees, application fees, and all that, not to even count the travel costs that it's going to take for us to go to China. No guarantees that we would get the child that Joy feels is in her heart. No guarantees. And the waiting process, it just takes time. It just takes time. Well, on November 13th, this last year, we got a call. And Joy called me up, and this little boy's name is Jared. And she said, we got Jared. We got Jared. Country of China is 1.3 billion people. What are the chances of us getting hooked up with a very child that was in her heart? 1.3 billion chances. And God somehow found a way of opening up that door of opportunity. This is a little shot of Jared, pictures of him. It's going to come up on the screen. That's our little boy. 3 years old. He just turned three. Next is his birthday picture in China. Yeah, cute little guy. At least in my eyes, he's a cute little guy. But it's, you know, God opened up another opportunity. Now, it's going to get harder. I know. It's not going to be easy. You know, raising a child, can you imagine us 100-year-olds running around with this 3-year-old all over the place? It will get harder. You know, and not only that, he is in China. He only knows Mandarin. We know English. And we're praying that the Holy Spirit will bless him with speaking in tongues so he can speak English. He hasn't really helped us with learning Mandarin. I have a CD in my car for the last 6 weeks, and I'm still on track one. I'm still on Ni Hao Ma, you know? In fact, Chinese Mandarin is the most difficult language. For the same word, you have four tones that gives different meanings. So for example, like the word ma, which is like mama, can be used for mom. It also means horse, it means hemp, it means scold, depending on the inflection that you give to it. And so I can imagine this little Jared standing there, and if I'm saying it wrong, he's thinking I'm scolding his mom for being a horse eating hemp. You know? And I'm trying. There's one phrase that I learned. It's Jingwen, Ni Jiao Shen Ma Mingza. Jingwen, Ni Jiao Shen Ma Mingza. That's, may I ask, what is your name? And the answer is, Wo Jiao Cordero Wayne. My name is Wayne Cordero. I need to learn that, because if I get in trouble in China, that's all I'll say. Wo Jiao Cordero Wayne. But it's tough, man. It's going to get harder. Buying clothes. You know, we got Zippo in clothes for our boy that's 3 years old. And, you know, we're during the Christmas sales, I'm holding up this little T-shirt. And I'm looking around at other parents who are shopping, and they could be our kids, you know. We're like grandparents buying clothes for our kid. But, you know, the waiting time, and just waiting, and we're, it's like everything is approved. We're just waiting this window that's open. They said between now and March, they could call us at any time with a travel approval to go to China. But it's just waiting. I mean, it's like, that's the only thing on my mind nowadays. And it's like, you know, I just can't wait. Like, I want the opportunity to happen now. Every day we'd go home, and it's almost like we say to each other, let's go, let's just pack up. We just want to go now. That opportunity is now. The other day I said, honey, we need to check the weather report, yeah? So I called up the weather in China, and the province that we need to go to pick him up, the daytime temperature was negative 11 degrees. And I said, honey, I think we can wait a little bit, yeah? You know, sometimes we want the opportunity now, but the Lord has a reason for us to wait. The Lord has a reason for you to wait. What does the Lord want for you in this next season? This new year, next season of your life, He will open up doors for you. What do you need to do? Respond. Be faithful and obedient. People say to me, man, you've been on staff 6 years and, you know, working with Pastor Wayne, and it's great. It's been a great run, but sometimes we feel like we're those four guys trying to get you in front of the Lord, and we get parking problems, we get seating problems, we get all kinds of problems, but we will faithfully pursue what the Lord has asked us to do, but it gets tough. They say, how do you make it through all of that? You know what keeps me going, keeps me heading straight on, is the promise at the end of the book. The promise keeps me going forward. Revelation 17. Let's read that together. Ready? Go. And the Lamb will overcome them, because He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with them are the called and chosen and faithful. The called, the chosen, and faithful. You know, you may be sitting there saying to yourself and to me in a silent way, you know, you don't know about my marriage. You don't know about my family situation. For God to open up another opportunity, yeah, fat chance. It's almost like 1.3 billion that it's ever going to happen. Hey, who can do the impossible? As long as you stay faithful, called, and chosen. See, this scripture tells me that there is nothing that we can ever do that's going to change the score at the end of the game. But there are so many things that we can do that will cause us to miss that opportune moment. I don't want to miss out on anything. I want to be able to stand there at the finish line with all of you and get to say one word when it's all said and done. What is that word? Done. Done. Let that be the word for us in this next season. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together. I love new seasons and new chances that we have. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for all that you do in our lives, in our past, our present, and the opportunities that you have reserved for our future. Father, we do indeed believe that you know the plans that you have for us. And in order to take advantage of that, Lord, to be sensitive to the opportunities that you're going to open along the way, Father, it'll require us to respond in an obedient and faithful fashion. Lord, may we walk in step with you. Help us, Father, to be sensitive to your ways, to continue to pursue you no matter what the challenge is, to be committed and fully intentional about the things that we do. Father, your plans are nothing but the best for us. And Father, we want to receive that in Jesus' name. So help us, Lord, to walk in your ways. We praise you in this new year. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Seal that to your hearts, would you?
Everybody.